Good morning and welcome to our roundtable panel for this Thursday, the 26th of June. Wonderful to have you with us. We thank you for joining us and we hope that you will be a part of our conversation as well. WAMC.org, and you can also go to write to us at roundtable@WAMC.org, and we would love to hear from you and hear your thoughts on the issues that we will discuss this morning. Let me introduce our panel to you. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joseph.
Good morning, and political activist Libby Post is here. Good morning, Libby.
Good morning, Joe.
And our good friend, our good friend
Good old what's his name, Ira.
It's interesting that in the script I put together, it says Daily, and it's Daily Freeman publisher emeritus Ira Fussell.
Yes, and political pacifist.
Yes, there you go. So it's wonderful to have you with us as always, sir.
Very nice to be here.
I assume you've been you had your cardio workout in the media project taping, and you're ready.
It was a very good program this week, if I do say so myself. Do
well,
you not
aren't
agree,
they all
Alan?
Good?
Well, I think some of them are better than others because we didn't have any personal attacks on this one, though. Or am I wrong about that?
Then I must have been asleep this week.
Rex did call us fuddy duddies, but that was there's no you know,
but
there's
if
no,
that's it.
That's
yeah,
his
but
Nebraska the, upbringing.
But there's no
all.
You know, truth is the ultimate defense. So.
So we have a lot of topics to talk about, a lot on the Supreme Court, a lot on international issues. But I would like to go to New York first because this is, I think, a big story. It's something that we've talked about a lot, and it's quite frankly fascinating. So out of this, a deal to end a Senate rift may give Democrats full control in Albany. A deal was brokered to rejoin a group of independent Democratic senators led by Jeffrey Klein with their fellow party members. Alan Chartok, what do you make of this?
Well, as you may remember, I've been talking about this for a long, long time.
Previously on the program.
Yes. And the idea is if you're living in Massachusetts or Vermont or, you know, Connecticut, it's a unique New York-y kind of thing that is absolutely disgusting. Well, finally, the Democrats had enough people to take control of the state Senate. But four, and soon to be five, Republicans cross over and earning the name traitors, whatever you wanted to put with them. And these were all self-styled progressive Democrats and made common cause with the Republicans. In the beginning, they said the Republicans would be in charge for 2 weeks and then they would be in charge for 2 weeks. Turned out that was all baloney, and that the Republicans
Hobbycock.
And well, I was thinking about the first word of bull, and
yes,
then I,
right, yes.
You know, but
right.
But I got, but then, but that's what was going to happen. But it turned out that they kept the Republicans in power. Now behind the scenes, before Toto pulled away the thing, somebody was pulling the switch. I happen to believe this could not have happened without at least the quiescence or the help of the governor of New York, who after all kept the Republicans in power because when he ran, he said he was going to veto the bill which would allow them to only in New York do their own districts. Okay, so he didn't do what he said he was going to do. They drew their own districts, and yet they still didn't have enough people. They still don't have enough people to have an outright majority. Okay, you're going to say something?
I was just going to throw in a name because you were saying of without the governor. The second line of the New York, or the second paragraph of the New York Times article says, the reconciliation was brokered in part by Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York. How much credit do you think he can take for this?
Well, I don't know. I do know that Andrew Cuomo was at war with Bill de Blasio. You will remember that de Blasio was for doing away with basically co-sharing of charter school space.
Right.
And the governor got up and before a rally, a cheering rally, and then what happened was there was this third party thing, and that's the Working Families Party. Now the governor wanted the Working Families nomination, but the Working Families Party are the progressives in New York State, and when the governor came, he actually got booed, and it looked like this woman, Zephyr Teachout, was going to get the nomination. But who saved the governor's hash? Bill de Blasio, his old nemesis from the previous couple of weeks' wars. And he made the argument that the governor should get it, and that probably did it. That probably did it. So the question now becomes, de Blasio is getting all the credit, the major credit for having brokered this deal, put the traitors back with the regular Democrats, and de Blasio is getting the credit. Was this part, I'm just asking a question, was this part of the negotiation that went on? And the governor, by the way, in order to get the nomination from the Working Families Party, had to say, I'm for bringing the Democrats back with the other Democrats. And so that is what's happened. They are back now, finally, after. And I have to say one other thing. I talk to the governor's people from time to time, and they get very mad at me because they say, I say, all the governor has to do is call those four Democrats in the room, shake his finger at them, and say, you're back where you belong. And you're not going to fool with Andrew Cuomo. Nobody fools with him who's sane in the head. And because, you know, it's a sort of frightening experience. And so what happens? They end up doing exactly what I told them to do. But the governor's people were always telling me, come on now, you don't really think he has that kind of power. Yes, he does, I said. Well, guess what, folks? Turns out he did.
Well, I think de Blasio, whether or not he deserves credit for brokering a deal, comes out a big winner here, because some of the more progressive legislation that he tried to get through the legislature was stalled in the Senate and the Republican-controlled Senate. And now it's more likely that he's going to be able to advance with a Democratic majority. But you just raised the question that I think I know the answer to, but I'm still not fully clear on, which is, I agree with you. I believe that Cuomo could have gotten those renegade Democrats to stay on their side of the aisle and have a Democratic Senate, yet he did not do it either by omission or commission. And I don't fully understand why the Democratic governor would not want a Democratic Senate along with a Democratic Assembly.
So,
now, I think I know, but
I'm glad you asked
it up
question.
For the political people here.
Now, we know that Andrew Cuomo is a guy who has a reputation now for being fairly fiscally conservative, tax caps and things like that. The progressives in the state don't want that. They don't want tax caps. They want to spend more money so that you can have more schools, better teachers, you name it, and pre-K and for everybody, which the governor is giving them. And that's what this is all about. Now, it's great. His father had it, and he has it, to have some mean old Republicans in charge of the Senate. So that they say, no, Andrew, you can't have this, or no, progressives, you can't have this. Then they become the bad guy, and he doesn't have to do the dirty work. Now, assuming the Democrats all take over, they still got to deal with Andrew. But now Andrew is going to be the guy.
He'll be the conservative.
He'll be the guy who has to take the heat and say, no, you can't raise taxes yet again in New York State.
Yes. He'll take the heat. He'll be the bad guy. He'll end up showing the true colors of his fiscal conservatism. You know, what's interesting here, and what a lot of the people who wrote about this was, that why don't they do this now? Why are they waiting until after the elections?
November, right.
Right. Why don't they do this now? Come back, get some stuff done, you know, and they don't wanna stir the pot that much.
Yes, and Dean Skelos, the Republican leader in the Senate, who is going to be displaced if
That's
this
right.
actually happens, says, you know, I'm not sure this is all right. He said, look, a lot of these guys, a lot of the, quote, traitors are getting primaried. Let's see what happens after they win their primaries, whether they're really going to do this. I thought that was interesting, as if he knew something we don't know.
Well, they're not going to lose their seats, but there are other
of them might have. I mean, well, for example, Klein has a very tough race with Ali Coppell in the Bronx.
Oh, well, this is true. But, I mean, it'll stay Democratic. That's what I'm saying, is that those seats will stay Democratic. What'll be interesting to see is these open seats, the ones on Long Island.
You got two guys, two Democrats who are indicted.
Right. And those seats will be Democratic seats.
Yeah.
you know, because they're in New York City, you know. But it'll be interesting to see what happens if they can actually get a true majority with everybody playing, you know, nice in the sandbox, singing Kumbaya and coming together.
I love those moments.
I like that song.
Yeah.
So if Cuomo, if in fact it does become as it is portrayed right now, and there is a more progressive agenda in the state, and thus putting Cuomo on the spot to either support or not support that agenda, it will impact for sure any potential presidential aspirations.
Right. His big problem was, look, if Hillary runs, we all know Andrew is out, can't run. And, you know, there's I had the publisher of Politico, the head man in Politico, in here yesterday for a very interesting interview, which will be played soon. And, you know, I asked him about how Andrew was perceived in the rest of the country. And he said, nobody knows. Nobody knows. You know, the Cuomo name in New York is very big, and, you know.
Meaning no one knows because they haven't done work on it, or nobody knows?
Nobody really knows about Andrew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's not that. But let's assume for a second that he walks into a convention. Somebody's going to say to him, how come you kept the Republicans in power all those years? And so he really had this. This is the point at which he's really got to take off. He knows this is being held against him. And people aren't dumb and they're not naive. They know basically it couldn't have happened unless he was looking the other way.
You know, and if the Democrats take over in the Senate, you know, we will see some things happening that long in coming. The transgender rights bill will happen. Gender will finally happen. It's passed the assembly tons of times. You know, we'll see the 10-point Women's Equality Act put into place. We'll see some other socially progressive stuff. But where the rubber's going to meet the road is on those fiscal issues and whether or not the Assembly and the Senate will come together, overturn the tax cap, not renew it when it's up for renewal, and put some money where it needs to be in education and libraries and other places and social services, other places, so we can lift some people up out of poverty in this state, because the income inequality is becoming more and more obvious and more dangerous to the life blood of the state and the economy of the state.
Andrew Cuomo is a strategic genius.
Well, it doesn't fall far from the tree.
No. He knows what he's doing. And the fact is, he knows that the number one issue in this state, no matter how much we want to talk about transgender and this and that, is taxes. Now, a guy living in a little box in Long Island paying $25,000 in taxes on a little house, it's just too much. And you can see that because of his tax cap, Rob Astorino, who is running against him, has nowhere to go. Because first of all, Westchester taxes are the highest in the state, and secondly, he's been preempted by Andrew, who has said taxes are his number one thing, and knows about the guy living in the $25,000 house in, you know, in Long Island with two rooms and a bathroom.
Let's take a quick break. We got several letters on this, so why don't we take a break? We'll come back. We'll read the letters, and then we'll go to another break, and then we'll come back and go to new stuff.
Okay.
Sound good? Does that sound
like a
plan?
Plan.
All right. You say, you're the chief.
All right. I have the map. Let us go on our journey. We begin with this message.
Support comes from Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York, showcasing the seasonal bounty of the Hudson Valley through new American cuisine. TerrapinRestaurant.com. Williamstown Theater Festival, Williamstown, Massachusetts. Their 60th season opening July 2nd with June Moon, directed by Jessica Stone, on the main stage. Box office now open. WTFestival.org. And University of New Hampshire, offering an online Master of Social Work program, mswonline.unh.edu.
Good morning. morning. Welcome back to our roundtable discussion. We have a few minutes before we go over to NPR News. And before we do that, we would like to check in with letters, which you can write to us at roundtable@wamc.org.
And John from Newburgh writes, tax caps are a red herring. What New York needs is a major tax reform, and that means taxation of Cuomo's major donors. That's what he says. Kerry says, last time Dems raised taxes $2 billion, killing upstate. And I'm still looking. Okay. And then Tony says the word traitor is casually thrown around, which is fine when talking of Bronx Senator Klein. However, when talking of Americans whom any current administration is trying to defame by implying disloyalty to the rest of us or to constitutional veils, we should never say the word traitor, treason, or Benedict Arnold. Okay, and that's all I'm going to read of that because it goes on and on. Okay, and Jim says, by breaking off from the Senate Democrats, did Klein and company get lucrative dollar leadership positions, and will they get more of the same by switching sides again? So is it all about money? Well, the answer to that very good question is that they were sort of seen as the co-leaders, at least in and so when they're going back to the new arrangement will be, they will be, the four of them will be co-leaders with the existing Democrats.
With Andrea Stewart Cousins. Right.
We'll see how long all of that lasts.
Right.
I guess that's what I got. You got anything else, Joe?
That is what I have, too.
Okay.
We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Did you have any final comments before we move on this issue?
No.
There was a story in the Wall Street Journal the other day about an independent survey rating the economic growth of United States, I'm sorry, of New York cities.
Yep.
And the Binghamton, no, I'm sorry, it was U.S. cities, Binghamton, Elmira, and Kingston, sadly Kingston being third, were among the lowest potential growth cities in the entire country of 363 cities. There's an economic problem upstate that needs to be dealt with, and that's a big problem, and it shouldn't trump the social issues which need to be addressed, but it ought to be fixed because that's going to be the Cuomo legacy if it's not.
Well, yeah, no, I agree with you. I think he's very smart, and he knows that.
Let's take a break. We will be back and talk about a lot of other things. We have a lot of court decisions we'll be talking about later on. We welcome your letters, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back after this short break. Welcome back to the roundtable and our panel discussion. We welcome your input, roundtable@wamc.org. I think we got a letter or two, Alan.
Good. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, of course we did. And I know it's here somewhere.
You ought to have a little background music. It'd call it Alan streaming for the email music.
No, I don't see it, Joe. Why don't you read what you've got?
Did we do the one on tax caps? Tax caps are a red herring. What New York needs is a major.
Okay,
then we don't have any letters.
Okay,
my apologies. Okay. Now let us go to court decisions. We'll start with Aereo and the Supreme Court. So Aereo made an all or nothing. And I don't know if this is really much of a surprise. I guess the only thing that surprised me was that it was that the decision came out the way it did. But Aereo made an all-or-nothing bet. The digital startup threatened to upend the media industry and transform the way people watch television. It likely will end up with nothing in a case with far-reaching implications for the entertainment and technology business. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled on Wednesday that Aereo, a television streaming service, had violated copyright laws by capturing broadcast signals on miniature antennas and delivering them to subscribers for a fee. The 6-3 decision handed a major victory to the broadcast networks, which argued that Aereo's business model was no more than a high-tech approach for stealing their content.
Yeah, I think it was a good ruling. I watched the case very closely from going back to when it was first brought to the court, and thought a lot about it, which is unusual for me because I don't do a lot of thinking about anything
put
these
yourself
days.
Down, Ira.
All right, well, I'll let you do it. No, but
oh my God.
But here's the thing: they're ineffectively. Aereo, in effect, was doing what a cable company does or a satellite company does, which was provide broadcast programming to subscribers, keyword being subscribers. So people had to pay, I believe, $8 a month to get this service. But, and the big but was that Aereo was not paying any rights fees to the networks. And so
Like the aggregators these days, Ira.
Yeah, it's a similar. It's like,
you know, everybody's article from the New York Times and this and that, using it online themselves.
Yeah, so it's very similar. And for those people who can't afford or can't receive cable or satellite dish, the broadcast networks are still available to you for free if you have rabbit ears or some other kind of antenna on your house.
R-A-B-I-D?
I'm sorry. Yes, rabbit ears. Both. Okay. You need rabbit ears to listen to some of the cable programs.
Right. Yeah.
So I think they got it right. I agree with Joe. Unlike the cell phone ruling, which was unanimous, I would have thought this one was going to be unanimous too. But I think they got this right.
I think your point about the aggregators is interesting because I agree with you, except that the only exception being is that the aggregators at least send you to the site. Like they'll send you to the New York Times, they'll send you to Huffington Post, they'll send you to the place. Where here they're just taking the content and not giving any credit to the people that they are, quote-unquote, stealing it from.
Well, you know, in the nation days of this, the newspaper people were very mad about their content being stolen this way.
Yeah.
Now they like it.
And they came around to it because it brought more eyeballs to their sites. And so, arguably, the broadcast networks, which are losing viewers in much the same way as newspapers are losing readers, you would think that they might not mind so much their content reaching people if it's not being reached otherwise. Because they'll be able to show more people are watching the programs and they'll be able to charge more for commercials.
No, I'm not a sociologist and I don't want to be seen as being, sort of that way. However,
sociological?
Sociological. There is a mentality in this country, which is that we have a ruling elite. Everybody's got their spot. Here comes, was it Diller who sets this thing up?
Barry Diller.
And thinks, okay, it's a good idea. If it works, I'm going to be really, really, really doing
rich.
Well, rich, which he is anyway. Okay. So he comes up with this thing. But the power elite has sections, like the political scientists in an academic department. And one of the sections is the media. So there are these guys on the Supreme Court, the five guys that we always see. I'm not saying they got it wrong, Ira. I'm really not. But I am saying it's predictable. And by the way, when the questioning occurred on the court, it was clear where they were going.
Yeah, but I think you're right. And one of the reasons I was a little bit torn was because the big time networks, the big money networks, are going to be protected. But that said, the copyright laws protect anybody who files for a copyright and wants to have their material protected similarly.
Don't you think, Ira? It seemed to me that again, having sort of followed this from the beginning of it, that. They are the broadcast television equivalent of Napster in the sense of they were coming in doing something that Napster was trying to do. And it took iTunes to say, okay, well, this is how you're going to get your money. We're going to say to the recording industry, this is how you're going to get your money. You pay a dollar a song, and we're going to do that. So eventually we'll end up with something like Aereo, it'll be different than.
Eric wrote in and made that point.
What did Eric
say? I agree with the ruling. I think eventually the broadcaster will accept an Aereo-type service. But whatever company provides it, I'm betting on Amazon, will have to pay retransmission fees.
Absolutely.
As more people like me drop cable services,
The
broadcasters will find it in their interest to do so.
I agree with
that. A point you made
already.
Yeah,
I think Amazon's already doing that. The problem with Aereo was that it was not paying any money to the networks, and that seems not fair, particularly because cables and satellite folks are paying a lot of money for programming. By the way, the $8 a month for Aereo, as I understand it, would get you ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox. Do you believe it's more than that? Because if it's not, that's an awfully expensive tag when you consider many people just for basic cable are only paying $20 and are getting 50 per channel.
Well, actually, just for basic cable, I think is $8 or $9.
Yeah.
And
getting a lot more than those.
And getting a lot more. And Hulu and Amazon and some of those others and Netflix working out to whatever $8 or $9 a month would get Joe out more than that.
I'm late to the game on Netflix, but I'm getting it now, and I'm in the middle of House of Cards. And what you can see on Netflix for a relatively cheap price is quite impressive.
I don't believe in any of it.
It'll change your life, Alan. Okay, it'll change your life.
So Ted had a little complaint. I am not necessarily a fan. But, quote, bash Cuomo seems to have become a WMC cottage industry. It may be justified. In my lifetime, New York has had five Democratic governors, Harriman, Cary, Cuomo, Spitzer, David Paterson, and Cuomo. Just for point of reference, were any of them any good for the state? I fear the next Democratic governor will get the same treatment. Look at what many Dems are now saying about Cuomo. I take some exception to that. It's true that I have been a critic. And especially on things like the Republicans having control of the Senate. But when Andrew Cuomo came out with a stupendous gun law, which many people didn't have the courage for, I was first online to say, you know, good for him. You know, you got to call him like you see him. But that's what we do here. Yeah. Okay. I want to make that point. So, all right. What else we got? Anything new? No.
Okay. No, we're good. Let's. So the other big decision was, as Ira mentioned, on cell phones and privacy. When it comes to cell phone privacy, Supreme Court says the phones can't be searched without a warrant. And this was a unanimous decision.
Because every one of them have one.
Well, that's exactly it.
The police need warrants to search the cell phones of people they arrest. I don't know. Am I naive or was this sort of a duh decision? I don't, like, shouldn't.
It is a duh decision, but the cops were.
No, I know, but it, like I can.
Oh, I think it's an important decision because
it's an important decision.
Yeah, I think it's important for the obvious protection of privacy that it will now the law will cover. But it is also in this new technology era where we're undergoing, where changes are going on. There's a lot of legislation that needs to be updated to reflect what's going on in the digital world. I mean, we're not talking about searching somebody's file in their basement now. We're talking about holding a piece of a cell phone, which carries all that information and more, and who knows what's to come. So I think this is a very important decision, and the fact that it was unanimous is almost as important as the decision that was made.
And as I've said about law and order so many times, you mean to say that there is a police department alive that doesn't know which judge to go to get a warrant from?
Well, sure, but that's the case with non-digital material, too.
That's right.
Right. But they'll be able to get it. If they need a warrant, they'll be able to get the warrant. I mean, you know, I thought Roberts is line about how if you come back 300 years from now or a Martian came down or something like that, people will think that the cell phone is part of our anatomy. And he's absolutely right.
Well, 300 years from now, it may well be.
Yeah, well, it's true. We'll have the little Google Glass. But this privacy issue also, you know, last night, and it's been in the news a lot about the drones. And that issue around people having their own drones and the privacy around that and, you know, people taking pictures and what are you going to do with those pictures and drones flying at 100, 200 feet above the air and taping everything that's going on. You know, that also, I think, and they made the point, you know, law does not keep up with technology.
Yeah. And, you know, you've just made a very important point, and I don't want to be accused of having changed the subject. But the drone thing is so fascinating now because we thought, you know, the United States thought, well, we'll use our drones and we'll kill people.
That's
and
right.
We'll do this. Now it turns out everybody has drones.
Right. You can do it. You can buy one, you know, probably at Hamak or Schlemmer and, you know, do whatever you want with it.
Is that the name Hamak or Schlemmer?
Hamak or Schlemmer.
I always thought it was Hamak or Schlemmer.
That's the Yiddish.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be.
Or Hamaka Schlemmer.
No doubt drones is going to be subject of a court case if it's not already. It's bound. Yeah. One of the network news programs last night did a story on this very
NBC
thing.
NBC did.
And I'm going to get me a drone.
And 60 Minutes re-aired their thing on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Anyone can get a drone. And
they're cheap.
And that was what I was about to say. They're not expensive. And it is fascinating.
Yeah, I loved that last night they showed a group of sports fans
somewhere they were knocking
at
them
Stanley
down.
Cup. And they knocked it down and trashed the whole thing.
There was a drone hovering above the party outside of the Staples Center. Yeah. And people were throwing stuff at it, and it finally brought it down.
Can't be good for the hummingbird population.
No.
Because hummingbirds, they have them that are so small now, they make them looking like hummingbirds.
Right.
Well, I mean, to take it to the extreme, forgetting all of the privacy issues, you can picture a time when there's 50 of these things in your neighborhood at the same time, and the noise alone will make people want to go to their town board and say, you've got to ban these drones in our town.
Mm. Right.
It's going to happen.
Much worse for the hummingbird than feral cats.
Than feral cats.
What about
than
feral cats? Williams?
Yeah, so, yeah, no, that's a different person.
He's ever happy.
He's right, always he's always happy. So can we talk about marriage just for a moment?
I'm so lost.
That's all right.
It's not worth
it. It's popular culture, Alan.
My one corny joke, I'm
you
not
need
repeating
to
it.
Read People magazine.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about other court decisions. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Chester Theatre Company, presenting Madagascar, a haunting mystery set in Rome through July 6th. ChesterTheatre.org. Oblong Books, presenting author events for adults, kids, teens, and summer reading recommendations. Oblongbooks.com. And The Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butterscratch bakery, caterer and cafe offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to our roundtable discussion. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Two decisions having to do with... Libby's ready to go. Two decisions. Appeals Court rejects Utah's ban on gay marriage, prodding the Supreme Court. And then there was also a decision in Indiana as well yesterday, which Judge Strikes struck down Indiana's ban on gay marriage. So, Libby, what do you make of this?
First of all, today is 1 year since the Supreme Court handed down its decision on DOMA, the Windsor case, which has opened up the floodgates. And we have seen
And just remind everybody what they said.
They said that the federal government can't discriminate against same-sex couples and that DOMA was unconstitutional because it did that, the Defense of Marriage Act. And so, you know, it opened up a floodgate for legal challenges. There are legal challenges in every single state. I think it's 31 states now that have DOMA-type laws on their books.
Like Utah.
The Utah decision, while it's been stayed, okay, covers more than just Utah. It'll cover 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 states because it's the Circuit Court of Appeals. I think this one's going to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Because it's going to go up the food chain. And either the Supreme Court's going to do one of two things. They're either going to say, enough already, let's just say it's legal across the country, or they won't hear it, which will make it legal in those 5, 6 states.
In other words, the prescription against gay marriage.
Right.
Yes.
And it'll make it legal. That will give us the tipping point with Indiana that we need to be more than half the country. Will then have legalized marriage between two consenting adults, regardless of who they are.
Okay, knowing what you know about the Supreme Court and being our expert on this issue, what do you expect to happen?
I expect them to just say, we're not going to hear this other case.
Really?
Yes.
They'll just pass.
I think they'll take a pass because that's what they said before. We can't say what the states should do. So they'll just take a pass knowing that all of these state constitutional amendments will be found unconstitutional.
But isn't the aren't we at the point now where the highest federal courts are basically knocking them all down?
Yes.
Yeah,
so
if they take a pass,
then they're knocked down.
Yeah.
If they don't take a pass, then it's knocked down. It's a fait accompli either way. This is going to happen. Everyone is going to be able to get married in this country in the next few years. And, you know, life goes on. Nothing bad has happened. There's absolutely no argument against
that. Well, you know, that's a key point because the Chicken Littles who thought something really terrible in society was going to just fall apart. I think it's now 19 states in which
19 and the District of Columbia.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't study the issue, but I'm not sure that there's been any
serious
issues.
Iowa's still making potatoes or whatever they make in Iowa. So, you know.
But there is still a prejudice on part of people who are a little older as opposed to those who are younger.
Right.
And that's why we saw this miraculous change, as if, you know, something that was never going to happen in the United States, and it happened
really fast
because young people think it's all nuts.
It is. They do think it's all nuts. And even older people, I think we're starting to see a shift because it's their neighbors, it's their grandchildren, it's their children. It's so hard to keep up the hate. It really is. And it's just a waste of psychic energy to do that. And, you know, Orrin Hatch has even said, same-sex marriage is going to be, or marriage equality is going to be the law of the land eventually.
As soon as somebody has a kid, a nephew,
right.
It becomes their number one.
It's also entered the mainstream pop culture. And I'm not talking about cable shows that might be gay-themed, but you're talking about sitcoms where gay characters, right, and up right now, they're a proliferation of them.
Yeah.
To your point about older people, a lot of their views and acceptance, sadly, perhaps, is based on what they see on network TV.
Well, there are some... just for the point of discussion, you know where I come down on this, but just for the point of discussion, there are some people who really believe in their hearts that the only reason that people should get married, you know, is to have children.
It's to procreate,
yeah, it's to procreate. And they believe it, and they believe this is God's...
Well, you know what? We have kids.
Yeah, I know that. And this is God's will, you know, and that, if you go against God's will, you're basically condemning yourself. Do I believe this? No, but I just want to take a moment to mention that there are still people who believe that stuff.
Yes, there are people, but
there always will be.
Yeah, there always will be, and that's their right to believe that. But you know, we do still, I think, have a separation of church and state in this country, and they can have their religious beliefs. I can have mine. You can have yours, and we all get to live our lives. But what's interesting here is this. We might end up with a country where marriage equality is the law of the land, but that doesn't mean we live in a country where people still can't be fired for being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or denied housing, because what we don't have is a civil rights law that covers everyone in this country. It's still patchwork. So it would be interesting if the Supreme Court did take the case and then they took that one step further. Well, if people have equal protection and whatever it is, the 14th Amendment, and that's why DOMA was struck down, then they should also have equal protection in every other part of their lives.
So you're saying that if someone could say to you today, I am firing you because you're gay, and that you would not win in court if
not
you sued
in New
them?
York, but if you go to the middle of the country, you go to the South, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. Any of the states. There's many states.
I just want to point out that Michelle checked in. I live in upstate where the hills prevent us from getting TV over the air. Even with a large antenna, Aereo delivered only those channels for a fee. Basic cable is not only available for one provider, which has a monopoly, and thus charges were way more than $8 for that service. Consider. Okay? We will. So then all of this.
If Aereo gave back a buck of that $8 to the networks, there may not have been a lawsuit.
Right, because they're getting the content.
Because they're getting that content.
I get it. What's the name of the guy? Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
Jeff Goldblum on the Law and Order?
Was he on Law and Order?
Jeff Goldblum?
Very tall.
He was in The Fly?
He was in The Big Chill.
He was in The Fly.
But he was also on Law and Order.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
I'm not going to argue with him.
So why did you bring up Law and Order? Why did you bring up Jeff Goldblum?
Because he always said,
No, that was David... Belzer.
No.
Richard Belzer.
No. You people don't watch your Law and Order.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
Didn't you hear the story of Alan and Sam Waterston and coming out of the building and people saying, who's that with Sam Waterston? No, so who's that with Alan Shartak?
Sam Waterston was on it. Michael Moriarty was on it.
Jeff Goldblum starred as Detective Zach Nichols for the 8th and 9th seasons
of Law and Order,
Criminal Intent.
Oh, Criminal Intent. Oh. Well, that's different.
Law and Order, Criminal Intent.
You didn't say Criminal Intent.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Okay, fine. I didn't watch Criminal Intent all that much.
It's still on order.
I didn't know criminals like camping, and they went
in tents. My favorite.
Criminal Intent?
Oh, I loved it.
Well, he was great, D'Onofrio.
I liked it, Ira.
You like what?
We were all talking at once, which was no good for the program, but Joe heard the joke.
What was the joke?
He made a tent.
I said I didn't know criminals like camping. They're all in tents.
You see.
That's awesome.
See, I told you it wasn't worth repeating.
We are devolving.
Now we got 3 minutes to say something good.
Okay. So,
all right. So, Libby, last word on that issue. So, you think it'll go where? Because I find it interesting, real quick, this thing of Indiana, then they're saying, okay, the legislature dealt with it, then they're going to put it up for a ballot, and it goes to 2016, and it sort of gets bandied about, but it seems like the courts may take it before that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they can go back to they could go back and the people can vote again, but it's still going to get challenged and thrown out.
Right.
So it's sort of stupid. You know, people, they're wasting taxpayer money. Sort of like Boehner suing Obama. They're wasting taxpayer money
defending
they don't even know where to go.
A fait accompli.
They have no idea the Republicans at this stage of the game. They can win in these malapportioned congressional districts or maldistricted,
malformed,
formed. But they, but and
the Goldblum districts,
right?
Yeah,
right.
I love Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, good. I loved him in The Big Chill.
I think it's great.
But you know, they don't know where they're going. They are totally rudderless, and.
Yeah.
They're not going to be using marriage as an issue anymore because it's a loser for them. Yeah. Now they're going to sue Obama? Well, great. Waste the taxpayer money.
All right.
That's all they're doing.
We're out of time.
Okay, bye. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Okay, bye.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll be back tomorrow. Join us. Keep the conversation going. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Ira Fussfeld, Alan Chartok, Libby Post, thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.